Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. It's the only show that is an alternative source of energy. I'm your announcer, Tony Partington. Coming up on this edition of The Scope,
we talk about the Lost finale, we interview the band Lesser Knowns, and Jared mourns the loss of Gary Coleman by asking everyone, what you talking about? And then punching them.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 91 of The Scope. Yeah, as you heard, the Scope national flag is flying at half mast today in honor of...
So is my dick. Wow. This is why you're one of the premier podcasters, Adam. I was going to say.
Adam really is one of the premier podcasters in this country, is he not?
I'm actually surprised he managed a half chub. That's all.
I did register premier podcaster, AdamSitnick.com.
Very nice. A one-quarter chub with the premier podcaster, AdamSitnick.com. Yeah,
that's a tough sell.
Gary Coleman is dead. That pretty much ruins the entire show because I was going to do nothing but Gary Coleman. What a coincidence. I mean, it worked out that way. So, but instead, I think we need to talk immediately, guys, about the finale of Lost. You know, the last episode we covered Lost ad infinitum. Is that yes. The correct pronunciation of the word? So, you know, we had grand ideas of what maybe the finale should cover, like all the secrets that should be spilled and all the ground that they need to cover before the series is over. And at the end of the day, what happened? Really, nothing was answered, other than the mystery of the sideways flashes. Now we're gonna be getting into a lot of spoiler stuff here. So if you haven't seen it or you haven't heard. That's all right. If you haven't seen it or you haven't heard about it, please tune off and come back later. But I would guess by this point in time, you probably would know everything. So the end of The Lost, Adam, Jared, really is Jack, the main character, the protagonist of the show. We find out that he's dead, and he has to come to some sort of awareness in this sideways flash world to understand that he's dead, so then he can go off into the heavens or wherever they go with all of his other lost buddies. Mm-hmm. Essentially, that's how the show ends.
Yes.
And a lot of people upset about that. I don't know if Lost really was a show where you needed to get all the mysteries, but I think what people are a little bit ticked about is the idea that this ending pushed it into this whole other broader concept of life and death, and it may have made the rest of the show, all these mysteries, sort of pointless because... they're all dead at the end, so they don't need to explain it because they're dead. It's pointless.
I mean, we're all dead at the end. So, yeah.
So do you think that's a fair? Do you think that's a fair way of looking at it, Adam, or do you think that there is some sort of tie in? It all ties together. There's meaning from the first five seasons of the show.
So they had to protect the whole world from, you know, Man in Black getting away. That was the whole point of the show. It's like it's almost like we got a bonus extra season with the sideways stories, you know, kind of the epilogue.
Do you think that as an epilogue, though, the theme of it all, this, you know, the bigger picture, was even necessary? I mean, did Lost ever hint at that sort of thing? You know, I mean, there was life and death, but they talked about spirituality, but they didn't really, you know, make the effort to explain it. Mm-hmm. Whereas they really did probably about the last season, but obviously the last half an hour of the last episode,
yep.
Where it sort of came out of nowhere necessarily. What do you think about that particular aspect? I mean, was that a good direction? Did it work for you?
It didn't not work for me. I mean, I don't like the notion of afterlife. Just me personally, yeah. I think it's you know kind of a false thing invented. But you know, in terms of the show's themes, I think thematically it fits with...
Oh, definitely, know, yeah. There's always been a spirituality to mm-hmm. the show. Yeah.
Which I've never liked. Like, I've always wanted it to be like, you know, science.
You want explained by science. Yeah.
I agree. I was in that camp too, but, you know, by the end, I had kind of reconciled with myself that it wasn't going to have a scientific ending at all.
Yeah.
And I just went along for the ride, and I was, you know, definitely got the emotional punch, and I enjoyed the ending.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the ending was quite a shock as if you had been paying attention to, you know, the first last two episodes, even, you know,
yeah.
It was starting to become pretty clear early on, I think, in, in the finale of where that sideways world was headed. So I wasn't surprised by the ending.
Headed towards death. I mean, that's really what we're talking about. So disappointment in terms of not getting some of the answers that you wanted, or do you think that, you know, the show has always been a quandary, it's always been a puzzle, it's always been dodgy with giving you answers. Is it fitting that the show ended the way it did?
I think they answered the important things, and there were some nagging loose ends that were out there, but you know what? I don't think that they could have answered those within the framework of wrapping up the series. Like, how do you explain how Walt is important and what the deal is with his powers in the way that they were ending it? It's not important to how the story ends. So you just, you know, you're not going to get that answer. Why can't women give birth on the island? I don't know. Not important to the end of the story. You're not going to get the answer in the finale. It's just not going to happen. What about the ass circles? Again, important to the end of the story.
What about the ass circles?
You're not going to get, you know,
Hurley.
I agree with some of the analysis online in that when they hit bullet points and check things off to try to answer questions, the episodes aren't as good. Yeah. So, you know, if things naturally come up in the course of the story, you know, we got answers. But, you know, if they were just specifically going to answer things, it doesn't work.
It's almost like some of those questions are, you know, you have this grand narrative that's going, and you know, sometimes the questions pop up and they deal with specific people or events, and those events sort of split off. And while they split off, you keep going forward just like you would in life. I mean, we don't necessarily know the answer to everything that we're going through. Or,
exactly.
You know, I don't care to know what Adam's doing after the show. So that's that sort of thing. So I don't know. But we know that, you know, we'll meet again next week or 2 weeks and life will go on. But
And I mean, it gives you the ability to kind of say, huh, I guess maybe it was like this because of this. You know, maybe Man in Black, prohibited any child from being born on the island for some reason that they'd have, you know, the ability to do something. You know, I mean, it's, who knows?
Yeah. And the thing is, a lot of the answers are there in some form or another. There's a lot of smart people out there that analyze this stuff to death. You can also go to Lostpedia and type in a lot of the stuff, and you'll find that a lot of things have been covered. So let me bring back probably the biggest thorn in the side of a lot of people, and that's this whole idea of whether these guys were making it up as they were going along, or they had this grand plan. Number one, does it matter? And number two, should they be accountable for a mess they may have created by maybe not knowing what's going on and making it up as they go along? I'm looking at you, Jared. What do you think?
Well, I think we've read enough evidence online to know that they did have the ending, if not all of the details leading up to it. Clearly, they had some wiggle room, and they had characters that were only supposed to be there for a couple episodes and were so strong that they stuck around. They had characters that were supposed to be around longer and didn't stick around. So obviously things changed over the course of the run. But I do believe that there was an end game in sight.
Sure.
There was at least the very ending. And maybe they didn't know specifically how they were going to get to that until this season. How do you write six seasons of shows and plot it out in detail and know where everything's going? I just don't know how you manage that.
They didn't start the show knowing, okay, this year we're going to, you know, they've got this device of the flashbacks. So they're going to continue that for so long until it feels like it doesn't work anymore. I personally don't think that they knew from day one that, okay, we're going to have flash forwards, we're going to have time travel. We're going to have this sideways world. Maybe that part they had an inkling of, but I think that, you know, they, from what everything I've read and gleaned from the conversation going around the show, that they sort of had their idea, they've had their path about where the story would generally go, but how they got there, like Jared said, was going to vary at the beginning of every season. So, you know, I guess it's logical, if we keep flashing back, maybe at some point to shock them, we flash forward. But I don't think they knew that from day one.
Yeah,
no.
I do remember when I first started watching the show, and maybe I'm remembering it wrong, but I thought I remember Carlton Cuse or someone saying that Matthew Fox's character, Jack, was only actually supposed to be there for the pilot.
Yeah, that's pretty much common knowledge, that was the way it originally was written.
So, I guess then they, you know, immediately said, okay, well, no. But then how was the original ending written is kind of a question.
Yeah, well, I think the original ending was... how it was, just I don't think the details of it
maybe
being
it wasn't Jack,
being, Jack
maybe
it was, being the central figure maybe necessarily wasn't there, but the overall concept of them, you know, meeting in this afterlife scenario where they created and then kind of moving on to the next phase of whatever existence, I think that was the ending.
Why is that church racist? How about that? How about that question?
I don't think there's ever been an episodic per television program or comic book necessarily where everyone knew every step that they were going to take. And I think holding the producers of the show to that standard is ridiculous.
Yeah. I do think Y was plotted out pretty well, but you get the same thing with Y.
I still don't think Y. No. I don't think that he knew every single thing that he was going to do.
There definitely were things left open in the end.
I think that in any ongoing story, sometimes the story just takes you where it takes you. The characters take you where they take you, and you may think of something better as you're going on, or you may want to try something else.
Feedback is really terrible on something, so you're like, all right, well, maybe we went too far.
Maybe this Nikki and Paolo thing was not a good idea.
People are human, and they're just, you know, they're going to do what's best for the story. I mean, I remember when Lost first started, and one of the early complaints was, okay, how are they going to be able to keep doing the flashbacks season after season? If this show goes on for 5 seasons, how are they going to do that, and how's it going to be relevant after 3 seasons? Yeah, that's not going to be good. So they changed it up. Now, maybe they thought initially they were going to do that. They were just going to do flashbacks. But, you know, they got a great idea. Let's go forward. And then from there, I think that probably spawned these other ideas. Okay, what can we do to play with that device? And they did, and I think they did it brilliantly. You know, some people may feel like the last season, it was too obscure. I mean, you didn't get answers to the very end of the show. And so it sort of... Does that render all those sideways flashes sort of a little bit more benign than some of these other things? Maybe. I don't know. But I think that you also have to look at it in terms of the character development and what they're doing and how they get there. And that's where Lost really excels is that, the characters. And, I mean, anyone that wasn't impacted or moved by that last episode.
Or just the very last scene.
I mean, you have to be heartless. Yeah. I mean, it was so well acted and so well written, no matter what they were doing, you know. It was pitch perfect.
I had a unique experience because Mandy, who's only ever watched like 2 or 3 episodes, she watched the preview,
to catch up, the 2-hour review.
Yeah, that explained everything.
And then she watched the finale with me, and she loved it. You know, I mean, she's not like, you know, a critic of television by any means or anything.
She's a girl. She doesn't quite have that mental capacity.
Well, and she also doesn't have that baggage of 6 seasons of unanswered questions that'll never have the answer. She just knows the story up to that point. And says, oh, here it ends. Yeah. Okay. I'm not worried about answering questions because I don't know what the questions are.
Right. And she loved it, you know. And she was, you know, we were both tearing up at the end there.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, dog stuff. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes.
Dog stuff.
So the very opening scene of the pilot and the very end scene with Jack dying in the finale are the exact same scene.
Yeah.
So why? What, you know, because like, a lot of people initially started to think like that, you know, so like he just imagined all that stuff and then he died. Because the very opening scene, it's shot the same way. You know, it's ground level. You see Vincent come towards him. It's exactly the same, except Vincent lays down in the finale. Was there reason behind that? Or is it just kind of, everything?
It's a thematic loop is all it is.
That was my ending where we began.
Yeah. The problem with Lost is, you know, it being so packed full of questions and mysteries that people have to read into so many things.
Right. Like the books. Remember, like any scene where there was a book or an album around, people were like, oh, that's a reference to something.
There may be.
Oftentimes it was just a reference to the writer's favorite thing.
The writers liked it, and there was a thematic similarity. It didn't mean that you have to read the book to uncover some secret mystery. I mean, they weren't that. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, the ending of Lost is exactly that. It's just a kind of a beautiful loop. Everything ties together, you know. It's you end where you begin. Life and death, it's kind of the same thing, and that's how the island played it out. So, I did request for our listeners to contribute their thoughts and feelings to the finale of Lost, or about the finale of Lost, and luckily we had some of our listeners that were nice enough to do so. Jared, why don't you let us know what's going on with that, and let's play something.
I have an email, and I have a couple of voicemails we can play. Mark from North Carolina, he writes in, "Hey guys, great show as always. Loved the Lost discussion," referring to our discussion in episode 90. "I agree that their biggest mistake was not having an end date from the start. We could have been spared the horrible pacing in Season 2, as well as the rush to end in Season 6, while at the same time getting a few more details along the way." Would you agree?
Yeah, I guess I haven't watched Season 2 since it was on. I was one of those guys that I was just, you know, I was never going to knock the show Lost. I pretty much liked every season for one reason or another, and I've always felt, you know, the strength of the show has always been the acting and the characters. So I don't know, you know, I think that an end date from the start would have been great, but you know, you do what you can do given the limitations of the medium of television.
Yeah. Television doesn't really allow for it.
Yeah.
If I mean, if ABC had its druthers, it would have, you know, it would
10 years of it.
Right.
Yeah. If the ratings are strong,
they'd bleed it dry.
It would be the one to pass Banzai or whatever, Gunsmoke, whatever the show that was.
Banzai or Bonanza.
Banzai, whatever.
Nice.
So, yeah, I mean, it's... all right.
What do you... I'm writing notes here. I agree that, you know, you can fix some of those problems with a fixed date, but it is what it is. Jared.
Yeah.
Next.
It is what it is.
So springboarding off of season two, we've got Lipsky, otherwise known as the Great Lipsky.
Lipsky?
But Google Voice calls it Lipsky.
I love that.
So I'm going to call him Lipsky next time I see him. He calls in with commentary on the Nikki and Paolo episode.
All right.
Hey, this is Luke Ski. Just wanted to comment on the Lost wrap-up. I really loved the Nikki and Paolo episode of Lost. I thought it was one of the best ones they ever did, not only for the episode itself, but how they set up the episode all season with Nikki and Paolo popping up here and there with the whole kind of, who are these people? In fact, they even had Sawyer say at several different points, who are you people? And, you know, that led to that big episode, which was like the total one-off, complete with this Twilight Zone ending that legitimately creeped me out. And I was like, whoa, what a great episode. So, yeah, I dug Nikki and Paolo lead-up and episode that led to their demise. And another thing...
The other thing is not Lost-related, so we will not play it.
You know me, Jared. I do my very best to disagree with Luke Ski on everything.
Well, certainly.
He's my mortal enemy. I've made no secret of that. But I actually agree with him in a lot of what he said about this episode. I think, I mean, first of all, completely bizarre episode. It doesn't... There is no other episode that relates to this show or this episode in the series of Lost. It's kind of like the, Across the Sea episode, which feels... Like, what the hell is going on here? It's so thematically and structurally different. But I thought it was really well done, and it was like a Twilight Zone episode.
I would disagree that they were necessarily setting up this particular episode.
No, I
think their intention was to keep these characters around for a little while.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that the producers of the show probably were trying to not set up the characters for death, but set them up to be regulars or, you know, additional cast members. And clearly it wasn't working, and the fan base was revolting, or somebody was revolting. I don't know. And they were going to off them and move on and deal back with the core.
Did you guys watch Kimmel after the show?
I did.
And did you watch the alternate endings?
Yes. Yeah,
I think the whole episode was a waste of time, honestly.
Yeah. It was, that whole thing was very uncomfortable,
the
actually.
The alternate endings were just jokes.
Everything was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There was spoofs of The Sopranos, Bob Newhart show, or just Newhart, and what was the third one? Survivor.
Yes, and the only thing that was funny was Jimmy Kimmel's weird glance into the camera as he was serving food as a waitress in The Sopranos. Everything else wasn't... It was sort of trite.
There was nothing in the episode at all that was worth your time.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. I'm glad.
Although I hear you said some of the Q&A internet-only stuff was decent.
Yeah, it was okay. Though, here's the thing. Jimmy Kimmel is a huge Lost fan, so he thinks about this shit all the time. Mm-hmm. And so they have this internet-exclusive Q&A, and people are asking questions like, well, like a relationship, if that breaks up, who gets the dog in the end? Who gets... I mean, they're just asking questions like, you know, who gets... If you're on an island... that's like Survivor, who gets voted off? I mean, like the question that I might be asking the lesser knowns later on later on in the episode.
Right.
But I mean, really, Kimmel at one point actually goes, all of these questions are nothing but bullshit. Why are you people not asking real questions to the cast here? And the cast looked pretty disinterested and bored. And, you know, there's probably a reason why you don't see them show up on talk shows a lot, because they're not very good. I mean, they're good actors, but they're not good guests on talk shows
for the most part.
So, yeah, the Kimmel thing was probably not worth your time in watching. But getting back to the Nikki and Paolo thing, I think it was a way to off them off them from the show.
It was a creative episode.
Yeah, it was really creative. I think if people go back and watch it on its own and forget about, you know, how much they dislike the Taileys or whatever, that they probably think it's a pretty cool episode, kind of an anomaly within the series. But, you know, it genuinely was a creepy, weird episode.
Yeah.
And it had Billy Dee Williams. I mean, what the hell do you want?
You gotta like that.
Exactly. What do we got next for viewer comment?
We have another call from Sarah in Houston, Texas.
All right. Y'all.
Hey, guys. This is Sarah calling from Houston, Texas.
I just had
to call in to give my thoughts on the finale of Lost. First of all, it was amazing. I absolutely loved it. I thought that the final scene with Jack by closing was perfect. I think it ended exactly how it should have ended, and I really, really liked it. Even after a couple of days of being able to sit and think about it, I still really enjoyed it. But my main point that I wanted to make was that I'm completely fine with them leaving it a little bit open-ended and not answering all the questions. I think that after listening to several podcasts and reading things on message boards, I'm realizing that I don't always agree with people's interpretations. I don't like them necessarily. So I think it's much better that I'm able to walk away from the show with my own version of the meaning of it all that's satisfactory to me. I think that if they had tried to answer all the questions, I wouldn't have liked it, and I don't think a lot of people would have liked it either. So that's mainly what I wanted to say. It was great, and I think they did a great job of walking that line between giving answers and holding things back. And I love your show, guys. Can't wait to hear what y'all have to say about it. Talk to you soon. Bye.
I think Sarah hits it right on the head as far as my perspective on the show is not liking people's interpretations of things and kind of and being able to make your own mind up. I was not a person who watched the show while it was on and felt like I had to go out and find discussions, theorize about what was going on, speculate on how things were going to happen. I wasn't interested in that because I didn't want to get invested in a particular school of thought or a theory and then end up being disappointed when it was different. I was more content to just let the show play out and just enjoy it for what it was and go on for the ride. Now, the flip side of that is now that the show is over,
now you wanna
find out. I not so much now, but the days immediately afterward, I was like all about analysis and finding out stuff because it's like, okay, now things are over. Things are pretty much set. Let's see what sort of commentary I can find that I can sort of fill in some holes.
Just enjoy the season, to paraphrase Minnesota Vikings coach Mike Tice.
Right.
You know, Sarah, by the way, she has like the cutest little voice, doesn't she? I mean,
I want to point out
she could be like on Glee. She could be a Kristen Chenoweth.
Startling discovery here. Girls go on message boards.
Stop the press right now. If there actually were presses anymore.
By the way, I believe she commented on Facebook too that calling in to hear the outgoing message was worth it in itself. So if that's a tip for our listeners, then I guess it's a tip for
We've
our listeners.
We've got a kick ass outgoing message.
But just don't call it just to hear the message. Leave something, too, so we can play you on the air.
Oh, no, I want to do it.
Yeah, let's do that. So thank you for calling in, Sarah. We appreciate it. And, you know, she's from Texas, but you would never have known that except at the very end of her statement when she said, I want to know what y'all's thinking. That's it. Other than that,
she
could have been from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Could have been from Minnesota.
Jared? I don't think Google Voice picked up on that.
No, I don't think they did either.
I think I'm out of comments.
Now, that's it. So, final words on Lost. By the way, quick breaking news, Adam.
Yeah.
They just released, ABC released the press release for the season 6 DVD and the complete Lost collection. And it can now be confirmed that there will be 12 to 15 minutes of additional footage explaining some sort of mystery on the show.
And I believe what happened to Walt will be part of it.
Yeah, and what the guy that played Ben, Michael Emerson, has said that they have filmed something with him and Hurley as number one and number two.
That's cool. So
there will be some sort of between.
That's the big thing. They'd be like, I'd love to see what those two were like.
Exactly. So you will get that.
One other thing I'll just mention. I was going to do this in news, but I'll just mention it now. You know the final images of the wreckage, like kind of during the credits?
Oh, yeah, all that bullshit.
Yeah, ABC says they are the ones that added it in there, and it was not the part of the producer's story.
Well, Jared and I are very smart. And we knew from the second that it was on that it was only there to create mood.
They say it was as a transition into the news, so to kind of break the emotional.
I mean, you're looking at whatever. The camp is there. I mean, it's exactly the way it looked in the first season.
There aren't bodies strewn about. You know,
But once again, it's reading into Lost when you shouldn't be reading into it. Enjoy the season, motherfuckers. All right, guys. So we've got a hell of a show coming up. This is special for us because we are interviewing a band. Yes, indeed, a band that isn't Jared's band, so that's very exciting. The band is called...
You never actually interviewed my band.
We might do that next show. No, we won't do it next show.
You can... You don't need to interview me because I have my own avenue for expression.
Oh, that's
Thank you very
right.
much.
Jared cheating on
I'll
us.
I'll talk
right.
about that in the D block.
D block. So we got this band, Lesser Knowns is their name. They are an East Coast band out of New Bedford, Massachusetts, right around Adam's stomping ground, right?
Nowhere close. It's called New Bedford, Mass.
That's the name of the actual town. I got to ask him some Kennedy compound questions, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
We'll see if I get to it. Wink, wink. we'll also be reviewing the latest album from LCD Sound System, hotly anticipated, highly reviewed by all the critics out there. We'll see what the Scope Boys have to say about it. And we'll also be doing our typical news coming soon, all that jazz. So it's,
you've done the show before, right?
I have, no.
Okay.
How many, this is my first time. So, guys, thank you.
Keep it moving.
Thank you for listening. This is episode 91. We'll be back right after this.
Once again, it's time for another edition of the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Today's euphemism is meat musket. That was the Scope Male Genitalia Euphemism of the Day. Now, back to the show.
Hey, everybody, we are back. Very, very exciting time for us here at The Scope. We will be interviewing live for you the band Lesser Knowns. They are Skyping into us right now, just like all the guests do on Oprah Winfrey. It's very, very exciting. Gentlemen, thank you for getting in contact with us and agreeing to appear on our little show. I just want to let you know that if you think you're going to get a lot of new listeners or fans out of this, you're probably sorely mistaken, but we thank you very much, Jared. We'll do our best. I'm going to do a little introduction here, and then we'll get right back into it for all of our listeners. The band Lesser Knowns come from New Bedford, Massachusetts, so you might be our first guest from the state of Mass. Very, very exciting.
I'm going to just go ahead and confirm that you are our first guest from Massachusetts.
Are they our first guest from any state outside of Minnesota? I don't know. So, guys, I'm going to read your text that you actually created for your band.
All right.
You're a band that came together through circumstance of the right time and place and strive for wrong time and place in their music. Their latest album, Get Famous, is currently burning up the East Coast charts. Or at least I wrote that part, because since I'm in the middle of nowhere, I'm assuming that you guys are big over there. The Lesser Knowns have also become known for their exciting, captivating live shows, not to mention their balls and sense of humor. I'm very curious about this balls business. A few months back, for everyone who wants to know, you guys got in touch with us. You want us to listen to our album, but we would do you one better and said, come on our show. And so here we are. Welcome to the show, guys. Before we get going, please, if you would, go around your table, introduce yourselves, tell us your name, what you do in the band, and anything else that's of importance.
Sure. I'm Nick. I do the majority of the singing. I play mostly guitar, but I switch off on bass sometimes.
And I'm Dan, and I play the guitar. All
right, well, I'm Riley Mello. I play the drums.
And I'm Dan. I play bass and sometimes guitar, and sometimes I sing.
Very, very nice. Guys, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about your band is how damn young you are. the reality is here is that if the circumstances are right, Jared could be your father.
What?
And I could be your older brother. And
I'm not taking the test.
And and Adam.
By the way, Shane and I, you and I are only a year apart.
Well, come on now, man. You know that I had no game with the ladies.
Aww.
And Adam could be like your weird Jewish cousin or something like that. So you guys, the average age of your band's about 20, 20, 21. How did you decide to get going doing this band? Is it just one of those things where you're into music, you meet, and it's serendipity, or what's the deal? How'd you meet? What inspires you?
In a sense, that's it. But me, Nick, and the two Dans, we've been playing music together since we were about 12, and we've been in someone's basement playing something for a long time. And one random day, I went over to Riley's house over here to see his sister, not even him. And I remember,
okay,
yeah. We'll be covering that in a second.
And I remembered that once I had heard that Riley played drums. So I went up to Riley and I was like, "Hey, you play drums, right?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I asked him if he wanted to be in a band. So that's kind of how we started.
Is this the first band for all of you guys?
No.
We've had
like stuff in the past, but yeah, a lot of it was all like,
I mean,
terrible.
Back in the past, like when you were 12 or 13, that kind of thing, you know?
I mean, oh yeah. Dan, Nick, and I all started playing when we were about 14 or 15 together.
Yeah. Jeez. Sickening.
So, I mean, we've been playing forever.
Riley, I got to tell you, you have, looks to me like a kick-ass arm tattoo. Is that true?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I got a new one actually right now.
Wow.
But you know, I'm the drummer. I have a Harley. I have tattoos. I fit the stereotype. Yeah.
He doesn't know words.
Jared, you got to get an arm tattoo since you are known to play the skins as well.
Yeah, that would go over well.
And the drums.
No.
Aww. Thank you.
Where is it? There you go. Just
Thank
for you.
You very much.
Hey, before we get off the age topic, I got a question for you guys. Had you heard of Gary Coleman prior to learning of his death?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Big fans.
There's a lot of people who didn't know who he was.
Don't be treading on my nerd degree question for later, Jared.
Oh, is that one of them?
I have a Gary Coleman related question for the boys here.
Good to know.
So, is this the rock and roll business for you? Is this a full-time gig? Are you doing other things? Will we find you down at the Chick-fil-A or whatever fast food places you have in Massachusetts? Or what's going on with that?
We're all students. Well, two of us just graduated. I'm finishing next December, and we all have day jobs currently, you know, just doing something. Well, three of us have day jobs.
And, like longshoremen or what?
You know, actually, I'm looking for lobsters.
Commercial fishermen, you know.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I have three jobs, and one of my jobs is actually moving scallops down on the docks.
Wow.
So good call on your part.
Delicious smell there. So,
I know my regional employment.
You really do. Yeah. So if someone who hadn't heard of you guys wanted to know what's your sound, how would you describe yourself as a band?
Well, we're very diverse. I mean, diversity is definitely a thing. Like, one song doesn't sound like another.
I know, you guys all look pretty white to me.
Well, we kind of all try to keep it under the umbrella of rock and roll.
Yeah.
The big umbrella, my friends.
Exactly.
Shane, it's big enough to keep everyone dry.
It really is.
Exactly.
So, biggest inspiration for your band, not to say that you want to sound like anyone, but... if you did, who would that be?
It's a litany of people. Again, our comparisons, we've been compared to Mooney Suzuki, Dinosaur Jr.,
Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon, Pavement.
Kings of Leon, hold on. Everyone knows the fans, the people here at the Scope love Kings of Leon more than anyone in the entire world.
And I definitely do hear the Dinosaur Jr. influence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I love the way Jay Maskus plays. And, you know, I strive to kind of... you know, achieve that type of ability. But, I mean, we all... It's just a shitload of influences.
Angus Young.
Hey, Adam, you want me to go ahead and just mute your mic?
Yeah, Adam usually is the most talkative of the bunch. He hasn't said a word.
I actually am muted.
So,
Adam was actually muted.
Hey, Adam's on.
Adam, yay.
Talk the whole time here.
Lesser known, that's Adam. He's going to add a little color and spice to the show. I actually heard a little bit of Sonic Youth in one of your songs, too. Maybe I'm crazy, but I heard that as well.
I'm a big Sonic Youth fan, so that gets translated a little bit.
How does a 19 or a 20-year-old actually like Sonic Youth? I didn't like them when I was 19, so...
I started listening to Sonic Youth when I was 16 or so, and I was really big into Nirvana, and I somehow heard of this band, Sonic Youth, and then all of a sudden it became one of my favorite bands.
I actually saw Sonic Youth open up for REM one time.
Really?
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
It was a very weird combo. Yeah.
It's like I caught the last 10 minutes of a Fugazi concert once, and I was like, "What's going on here?"
Very confused. Then Jared went and snuck into a Kelly Clarkson show after that. So,
my favorite.
Wow. I don't. That's. I'm not even sure of the time dimension that
I don't
would
know,
exist to take care of that problem.
So, why don't we instead of talking about your music, why don't we actually play a cut? Listen, I feel like I'm a record executive. Play a cut off of your latest album. This is off the Get Famous album. Am I correct in that, gentlemen?
You are.
Yes, you are.
So the song that I'm very curious about is entitled "Drinking Schlitz with Jesus."
Yes.
Schlitz, a very cheap, some might say delicious or disgusting beer, as I recall.
Has that gotten some sort of hipster cred like the PBR has, or is Schlitz still pretty much a working man's beer?
I don't think so.
Not really.
We drink it because our dads drank it.
Yeah.
So you're sneaking that out of dad's liquor cabinet? Is that the...
No, dad's handing it to me.
Yeah. My dad used to hand me a Heineken, so...
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the song, what it means, and what it means to you.
Frankly, I never thought the song would... exists because I was sitting in my bedroom. I came up with the chord progression. I thought it was just way too like wanky and country and weird to ever work. So I brought it to practice one day with these guys, and I started playing, and Riley started playing a tambourine, and I was like, "Hey, that works." So I used the idea of a tambourine actually as the hook, the chorus of the song, it's, you know, it says you shake, shake, shake like a tambourine. And that was kind of the idea. But the song was written in like, arranged in like minutes. We came to practice. I started playing the chords. Dan started playing the lead. And the other Dan started playing the bass. And we pretty much had a song. And I mean, the title has actually nothing to do with what the song's about.
It came through rapping at the end
of
it.
Yeah,
yeah. We were goofing around, like playing drums and making up a rap. And I don't really remember why, but I think I said drinking Schlitz with Jesus. And we decided to name it that because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So let me ask you guys, in terms of when you create your music, does it usually come as easy as the song? Or are you battling over... you know, a particular chord or a particular bit of a song where it takes forever? What's the usual process for that?
It usually depends on who it is writing the song. You know, like for some of us, like I know, like you, Dan, and your song, you come up with a lot of like riffs and like parts of songs.
Yeah.
And I can never finish it.
Right.
Which is why I bring it to band practice.
Right. And then a lot of times for me, I'll end up writing a whole song.
Yeah.
And then Dan will write a whole song. The other Dan will write a whole song, too. And it just kind of, we really haven't had much trouble writing songs.
My guess is that Rebel Riley with his arm tattoo and Harley probably slows down the entire process. He's always causing trouble.
But, I mean, we got to teach him words first.
Very nice. So, without further ado, let's play the first song that we'll be featuring today. It's Drinking Schlitz with Jesus. You're listening to The Scope and Lesser Knowns. And we are back. This is The Scope with The Lesser Knowns. Great song, guys.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
A little post-production magic there. So one thing I have to ask you guys is, I'm curious, how did you ever hear about The Scope? Because we certainly make no effort to tell anybody about what we do or how we do it. So, I mean, were you just like blanket sending out emails to whoever would respond? I'm curious about this.
We're now interviewing bands about us.
Yeah. Tell us about us, band.
Actually, my ex-girlfriend participated in RPM. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. The Record Production Month.
I've never heard of it.
It's this organization that, like, you write and record an entire album in a month, and then they have, like, listening parties, and everybody breaks off and listens to a track from everybody's CD.
Sure.
I've heard of that. I'm not familiar with the name, but I've definitely heard of the concept. Yeah.
And I went to UNH, and she did the one that was around Portsmouth, and they said that you guys had, like, sponsored it or something, so I looked you up online and sent an email, and it happened.
Wow.
We sponsored nothing.
Well, there you go.
Well, you're getting free press.
Well, very nice. Well, we're glad you got in contact with us. You might not be glad after I start asking very personal and probing questions about your band and interpersonal relationships, because that's what's coming next. So let's get right down to it. Guys, who in the band really needs to practice more?
Ooh, that's tough.
That is tough.
I need a new bass. That's what I need.
Do you have a fretted or unfretted bass?
It's fretted, but it's just about bordering on unplayable.
So. Wow. Fair enough. So who in the band could kick the most ass? I mean, I know you guys are over there in the East Coast where everybody's street fighting and stuff like that. I mean, here in Minnesota, all we do is
eat
and watch Fargo. That's it.
I'd say Nick. Yeah, Nick can kick the most ass.
Yeah, he's pretty big.
Now, this is a hypothetical situation. Have you guys actually been in fights? Or are you more of a pacifist type?
Almost.
I've seen Good Will Hunting. I know how it works.
as far as band fights, have we been in fights? Fights? Not as a band, but as far as individuals, I know I have.
Oh, good for you!
Yes, we like sound effects. So what about a rival band? You have a band that you'd just like to kick some ass on out there that's bringing you down?
Well, you like to fight, don't you?
I do. I love fights. I'm a skinny little scrawny bitch, and I like to live vicariously through other cool people.
Yeah, definitely. There is a band who really... really, really ticked us off one time. They totally screwed us out of a show. We put them on a show, and them and their manager, if you want to call them that, duped out on us.
You can say it. They're pot dealer.
Not really. But we had a real big tiff.
Opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, a real big tiff with them, and it was pretty bad. But, yeah.
Little known fact, that band's name, Nickelback.
Exactly.
We ain't getting the...
So the lesser knowns are on a reality show. Who gets kicked out first?
I would say me for not speaking enough English.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand me at all. It's tough. I smell bad. It's
the minority of the group.
Yeah, yes. Minority. Yes. I'm Portuguese.
Yeah.
Portuguese? What?
Portuguese. What are we doing with that? So let me ask you guys this question. You are. Some of you are going to be graduating soon. Riley's kind of in the middle of whatever antics he's up to. We don't even know. This guy's all over the place.
I've never been to a classroom.
Does the real world scare the shit out of you right now? Because, man, it's frightening out there.
Absolutely not, man.
No.
Absolutely not. I mean, the real world's the real world. And when you come from New Bedford, you kind of get a real big look into the real world before you want to.
A hard look.
Yeah. So... we're not really scared of all that much.
What kind of town is New Bedford anyway? I mean, give me some geographical.
All right, you ever read Moby Dick?
Have I ever, man?
Yeah. Okay, well, you know where.
Is that a yes or a no?
I don't know. I'm not going to answer that.
Well, you've heard of Moby Dick.
I certainly have.
But Moby Dick starts in New Bedford. That's like our claim to fame, and since then, pretty much nothing has happened.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's just whales everywhere, huh?
So how many?
With the exception of crime and drugs, we're pretty boring.
How many? What's the population of a town like New Bedford?
Yeah, 90,000.
90,000. So almost the same as the towns that we're living in right now, as a matter of fact. So.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. We don't have a rich whaling culture, though.
We do not. Yes.
Neither do we. We don't have rich anything.
Then where do you play most of your gigs then? Is it in New Bedford, or are you going out to the big city, whatever that may be, in that neck of the woods?
We've played a lot in New Bedford. We usually play here like once a month, but we've been branching out more to like New York, Boston, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So like, you know, all around East Coast type deal.
We'll be on tour coming up this week in Boston and New York and Connecticut.
It's got to be kind of convenient to have such a density of places to play in that area.
Yeah, it's real nice.
It's a big help to be able to only drive 2 hours and get to, you know, a big market.
Yeah.
Or Boston's close, Providence is close, and, you know, they've got a great music scene, so it's easy enough to access that when you need to.
How is it you don't have a Massachusetts accent? I'm very curious about that.
Yeah.
Because we're educated.
Oh, it's education.
I did notice in your bio that one of you guys actually used the term "wicked" in the text, and I thought that was kick ass, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Very nice. So I got a really, really important question here. Are you guys like hitting it like crazy with the ladies out there? I mean, being in a band, I mean, you've got tattoos all over the place. you've got basses falling apart. I mean, the ladies must be clamoring for the lesser known bandmates. Is that true?
Absolutely.
Yes. We do all right.
Yeah. You do all right. All right. So that is fantastic. So you guys aren't going to be weighted down with girlfriends. I mean, you're just whatever ladies are out there, the lady of the night or day, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. I'm putting a ring on it. So
yeah.
Putting a ring on it?
I'm getting weighted down, but that's all right. I'm okay with it.
Okay, we got
to send a shout out to my special lady.
Or as Shane calls it, a lady friend.
A lady friend. You're a lady friend.
I'm in the total opposite situation. I don't really care for love at all, so that's me.
No, let's get into that.
Any part in a storm, right?
That sounds like a sad situation. Why so angry against love?
I don't know. It sucks.
Jaden.
I think we can all get behind that. Well, let's not belabor the issue of love anymore. I don't want to bring the whole interview down. This makes me kind of sad for you guys.
Heart of love.
Tom Cruise doesn't care though, but we'll.
He's not too fond of women.
So why don't
I don't know if you can say that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, instead of bringing the party down, why don't we bring the party up with your second song? Life of the Party. You see how I did that? That's called Radio Transition, guys. None of your big city radio stations out there are going to be able to pull that shit off. You need a bunch of idiots in a basement doing a podcast with that kind of crap. So tell us about the song Life of the Party. I'm assuming it's not about the war in Iraq.
Life of the Party was a song I wrote last summer after one weekend where we played two shows, and after each show, we just went back to our friend's house and got really drunk, and I had some revelations about how my life was changing, and I sat down and wrote that song.
Very, very nice. So
so when does the surgery start?
A couple of months.
Very, very nice. Well, we'll let you contemplate that surgery while we're playing your big hit song, Life of the Party.
Side. And I think I finally found out what that I've been staying out way, way too damn long. I don't know the last time I drank till dawn.
And we are back with more from Lesser Knowns and Jared Adam and myself here at The Scope. Guys, I'm sure you've heard every one of our 91 episodes of The Scope, so you are intimately familiar with...
How could they have heard episode 91, Shane? It's in progress.
Well, we must have had some special episode in there somewhere. One of our favorite bits to do with all of our guests is a little something we like to call...
Sack tapping.
What was that? Also known as the Nerd Degree.
Can you tell the difference between Wookiees and Klingons? Do you still live in your parents' basement after 33 years? And
that would
you
be
like it? Can you install Windows and Linux in a dual boot configuration without breaking a sweat? We'll find out how big of a geek you are when we give you the Nerd Degree.
Okay, Lester Knowns, the first question actually isn't even on my list, but I want to know if any... Jared loves it so much.
Why is it on loop?
You heard that music on the intro there. What show was that from? Any idea?
Star Trek?
I'm not sure I know. I forgot.
The correct answer would be Perry Mason. I barely even know the show, but...
Perry Mason?
Yeah. Perry Mason, 1956. I know. Okay, so listen, guys. It's not all going to be about nerdy stuff. There's going to be some music things in here. Because, you know, I have a sister who's about 5 or 6 years older than you guys, and she doesn't know half of these questions. So I want to ask you them, and then I want to feel bad about how old I am. So let's get it started. Anybody can answer this. If I do have a specific question for you, I'll let you know. Question one, guys, what town is considered the home of the Beatles?
Liverpool, yeah.
Jared, is that correct? That is correct. Okay, so one for one, gentlemen. You guys know music, so I figured you know that. But what about this? Name the lead singer of The Who.
Roger Daltrey.
Guys, brilliant. Number two, correct. I guess I could have went harder. Okay, here's one that might stump you. Who fronted the 1980s pop band Culture Club?
Boy George.
Okay, geez, Jared. Nerd Degree is going in the shithole. name a hit.
Do you want them to fail? Is that the
yes, I do.
Okay.
Name a hit from Culture Club. Name any song.
Karma Chameleon.
There we go. I love it. You guys could cover that. I mean, that could be a lesser known hit.
We want to lose our balls.
Exactly.
What about the lead singer of Pearl Jam? Do you know who that is?
Yeah,
okay.
Very nice. I mean, as soon as you guys started talking,
I didn't know he joined the band.
He's in there. As soon as you guys started talking about your music, I knew I was in trouble.
Eddie Vedder's real last name?
Vedder?
Dunkelman.
It's Mueller.
Mueller?
Oh. Yeah, I think you're right.
Edward Mueller.
We'll give you that.
Okay, guys, in the 1980s, did you know that MTV actually played nothing but music videos?
I know, right?
What's MTV?
Exactly. So back in the day, they had a slogan. And it was actually featured in a Dire Straits song, Money for Nothing. What was the slogan for MTV?
I want my MTV.
I want my MTV.
And who sang that? Who sang that in the...
Sting.
Mark Knopfler.
It's like Sting. It's Mark Knopfler, yeah. Thought he was a guest.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
Very nice. Okay, guys. So far, you aced the music portion of the nerd degree, but I'm gonna quiz you on things that might be a little more important to your lives. I went through and looked at your college majors or things that you studied, and I went and dug up some questions that you probably should know given your standing in life. So this goes out to Nick L.
All
Nick
right.
L. Nick, you're an English major.
Yeah, double psych and English. Yeah.
Very nice. So in this sentence,
just rolling right through it. There.
This is the best I could do. In this sentence. Mary is a very clever girl. Which word is the adverb?
Mary is a very clever girl.
Yeah. Where's the adverb in that sentence, sir?
I don't know.
take a shot at it. Is somebody farting in here, by the way, Adam? Are you? Because it smells disgusting in here. Are you?
Are you trying to distract from your sentence that has no adverb?
It does have an adverb. Any guess, Nick?
What? There is none.
I have very is the adverb.
I don't think so.
Okay, well, we'll give it to Adam since he's the smart guy in the group. You got it right, Nick. Okay, Dan M. Dan M. You're also an English guy, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so you should get this one, no problem. Where was William Shakespeare born and raised?
Stratford-on-Avon.
Exactly. And your favorite play written by Shakespeare?
Hamlet.
That's incorrect.
Sorry. It was a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Exactly. Much Ado About Nothing right in there as well. Dan L., so yes. You're a music guy.
That's correct.
This is also incorrect.
Put these dynamic terms in order from quietest to loudest. Fortissimo, piano, mezzo piano, and mezzo forte. Quietest to loudest.
Quietest to loudest.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm going to say piano, mezzo forte, fortissimo.
Jared?
I don't know.
It's correct. Get the right button. God, you guys are so damn smart. You're ruining the show. Finally, Riley, who knows what's up with you? You're a business guy.
All right. Yeah, I'm a business.
This might be the hardest question.
Greg, you picked the wrong guy.
I know. Okay. So if a business firm would like to know whether it had enough cash to meet its bills... What category of financial ratio would it most likely use? Okay, so I've got some choices for you.
Multiple choice, that's good.
Okay, so we've got listen carefully. We've got leverage, liquidity, efficiency, or profitability.
Profitability.
The correct answer, Jared. Riley, you let us down. The correct answer is liquidity. I know, very, very disappointing. But
give back that paper.
I mean, he's got an arm tattoo. I mean, I didn't think he'd get it. I didn't
could have tattooed the answers on his arm.
He might. It's like right out of what do you call it? The Guy Pierce movie.
Great. Memento. Okay.
Memento
is the word you're looking for.
Okay, guys, let's get in some nerdy questions. If you were at a party and about to play a song in the video game Rock Band, what song would you pick?
What songs do they have?
Yeah, which version of Rock Band?
Well, Rock Band is Rock done Band. In such a way that you can play all the songs from any version because they all come together in one.
I'm going to play any song on Rock Band.
Yeah.
Shane, you realize this is a real Rock Band, right? They don't need to play video games.
Can we play our own songs?
Yeah.
You certainly can.
Jesus.
We'll give it to it. I think Adam just answered the question. Of course, rooting the bit again. The correct answer is you wouldn't fucking play Rock Band because you guys are the real deal. But I also would accept So What by Pink, just for the record.
Or anything by Paramore.
Yeah, because we know everybody loves Paramore.
Shania Twain
is in there. Guys, this is one that I hope you get because if you don't, it will make me sad. What was the name of Han Solo's spaceship?
Millennium Falcon.
Oh, thank you very much.
Come on.
What was the name of Sega's last video game console? The last one they made.
Dreamcast. I love that thing.
Very, very nice. Jared? Okay, guys, what movie was worse, Transformers Rise of the Fallen or G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra?
Oh.
Why is everything rising?
I don't know.
Which one was worse?
Yeah, what was the worst movie? Because there's an answer to this.
There definitely is.
Knights and Rodanthe.
We didn't hear that. Say again. Come again.
Is it Knights and Rodanthe?
Knights and Rodanthe, yes. That is the answer.
Oh. That is... Jared, okay. What's the correct answer?
Transformers Rise of the
Transformers
Fallen.
By far the worst movie.
Sex and the City 2.
Sex and the City 2 right in there. Guys, what's Voltron?
Oh, I used like an anime Transformer thing.
Very close enough.
Close enough. They were robot lions that came together to make one giant robot.
Yeah,
and we love them so.
These guys may be more familiar with Power Rangers, the live action.
Yeah, Power
version.
Rangers. Name all the colors of the original Power Rangers. Go.
Yellow, red, blue, black, and pink.
Nah. What? Oh.
There's another one in there.
Green?
Green, yes. He was a special guy. He had the ponytail.
Later
on, there was a white one?
There was a white one.
That was
You said original Power Rangers, so that's...
Yeah, these guys, they know what they're talking about.
They're the real deal. What do you want from me?
Final question, guys. In honor of the passing of Gary Coleman, what was his uber-famous catchphrase?
What you talking about?
There we go. Very nice. Lesser Known's not letting us down. These guys are the real deal. I give them a scope seal of approval for knowing every single question.
You get the Lesser Known seal of approval.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much.
You couldn't stump them despite your efforts.
I could not stump them. You know, I'm sitting here on the internet looking for English questions. Very, very difficult, and I feel like I completely let you guys down. I apologize. I could have done better. So, final words from the Lesser Knowns. Actually, it's not the Lesser Knowns, right? It's just Lesser Knowns. I don't want to. I don't want to give you like you're the Strokes or the band. I mean,
let's just cut that definite article out of there, right?
Thank you, Mr.
right, English majors?
Now, parting words from Lesser Knowns, please.
Nice.
Incorrect.
For everybody out there who is listening, all 10 of you.
Now that's way too many.
Check out our music. Come see us play live, and we'll wow you.
Where can people who are not in the Massachusetts area find you? How about we do that?
On
the internet, yes.
Unless you have some sort of special network of your own that you're prepared to announce right here on the show.
You can find us on MySpace at myspace.com/lesserknowns. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lesserknowns. You can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/lesserknownsnb. Lesserknownsnb.
Mm. And we're on Last.fm, too.
Yeah, Last.fm as well.
And any other bullshit.
Yeah, all that. Networking. All the stuff that ruins, social skills.
Right on.
We're all over that.
Does anybody go to your MySpace page? I mean, are the kids using that nowadays or what?
It's a pretty big thing for music anyway.
Yeah, still use it. It's been helpful with networking and whatnot.
So. What about this Foursquare business? Are you checking into places as you're going here to there or what?
Yeah.
You can find Lesser Knowns at the down at the Scallop Distribution Center.
Yep.
Thank you. Lesser Knowns, there's no question about it. You guys are your up-and-comers, but yet at the same time, you know what you're talking about. We here at The Scope honor you. And you honor
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Oprah.
We honor you. Thank you very much. Now they're laughing at you. Now we're going to get you off the air and make fun of you for 20 minutes. So please don't listen to the show. Guys, thank you very much for all your time. We'll be back with more Scope after this.
It's time to bust a move with Scope Sounds. The Scope Song of the Week. Drop that beat, homie.
Hit it!
Yes, once again from my South by Southwest 2010 playlist, it's a band called Killians. A song called Fight to Start. But don't fight this music. Keep it locked!
I saw a face in a window, reflecting myself in a better way. She told me to need her, and just hold my hand if I wanna go. Get away, all you give is silence. I lost my bottle, you told me everything. I got enough. My society's just later, it's too late. Fuck the start, 'cause better it's too late. Fight the start. Get away. If I gotta go, then you gotta know.
We are back with Under the Scope. Jared, already the show is being rocked to the core. News flash, Adam is leaving the show.
What?
Yep. Okay, so he's leaving the show, not permanently, but he's off to the Minnesota Twins game. They're playing the
Texas Rangers.
Texas Rangers. They've won
Ron Harris.
Would that be the bankrupt Texas Rangers?
Are they bankrupt?
They filed for bankrupt this week.
Morally bankrupt. Just to point out, who used to own them? George W. Bush.
George W. Bush. So Adam was nice enough to collect the news. Jared and I will be reading that news, or I'll be reading it, or Jared will be reading it. Adam.
Can I do the first two, and then I'll walk out?
Okay, do the first two. Let's do it.
All right, they're themed. They're themed, and you guys...
Adam's worked so hard that he's got themes, Jared.
Themes.
It's the first time for everything. And, he works so hard, then he leaves right in the middle of his bit.
Themed. The first one's actually submitted by... Shane.
Who?
Listener of the show.
Yeah?
Student suffers amputation after embarrassing school assault.
What?
So this happened in our state.
Our great state of Minnesota.
Yes, in Crosby, Minnesota, named after Bill Crosby.
I was going to say Denise Crosby.
Denise.
Rudy. Probably Rudy, actually.
Oh, Rudy.
Pain is the operative word
what
in
you
the
talking
unfortunate
about, Rudy?
Story of 14-year-old David Gibbons.
Is that D. Gibbons of Flash
that is
Forward
D.
fame?
Gibbons. We'll never find out, though, which is a shame.
I dropped that show, by the way. I'm not even going to watch the last 4 hours.
Good for you.
His mom was quoted as saying, 1 o'clock in the morning, he woke me up and told me he was in excruciating pain. The family took David to St. Joseph's Hospital, and he had his right testicle removed.
Whoa! That's something we can all relate to.
This may be called a game, the cause of the testicle removal, but it is not a game. It is dangerous and needs to stop, said David's mother, Christy.
What exactly happened?
Dubbed sack tapping by some students, the practice is now featured in dozens of homemade videos on YouTube. It's gotten way out of control, Dr. Scott Wheeler, a Brainerd urologist, said. He now performs 2 or 3 surgeries of this type a year.
Yikes.
On boys with ruptured testicles and other complications of being groin punched, with dozens more coming in.
What the fuck are kids doing?
With less severe injuries.
There's this shit going on. The people are choking themselves and each other to get a sexual high. They're huffing chemicals. What the fuck is wrong with the youth today?
I should have asked lesser knowns about this. They might know something about
sack tapping. Xbox, isn't it? Fucking groin punches in the Xbox games. I bet there is, right? Right? Am I right? Eh? Get off my lawn.
It's not just high school. It's junior high and elementary school.
So they're punching each other's nads in elementary school.
Yes.
Jesus.
So
Jesus, do something.
They took the kid out of school. The superintendent of the school district said that it's been dealt with, but due to confidentiality and ages of the perpetrators, they couldn't say what had happened. So, like I said, this is themed.
That's nice.
So the second story, New Jersey teen, you guys tell me what you think the theme is here.
I'm sure. I'm hoping there's more genitals.
Genital whacking.
Admits to defecating in classmates' soda.
Jesus Christ. Really?
His lawyer calls it a foolish prank, but a judge isn't laughing.
Okay, how does this...
That boy's name, Riley, from Lesser Known.
A 17-year-old
wow,
high school.
Sorry.
A 17-year-old high school student from Hayden Township admitted in family court Thursday that he defecated in a classmate's soda during auto shop class. Prosecutors dropped an aggravated assault charge in exchange for the boy's guilty plea to a charge of tampering with a food product. Authorities say the victim sipped the soda, then spit it out as his classmates laughed on March 29th.
I'm trying to think of the physics of this, and how do you...
I see this kid just like sitting over like a soda like a soda bottle, just like just dropping a load, right?
Yeah, not, but
a different kind of load, right?
I'm thinking either a bottle or a can, and the opening isn't that big.
I'm thinking like a like a regular soda cup you'd get it.
Yeah, in shop class, I don't think you'd have a cup though.
Well, who knows how they're doing things out in New Jersey?
Anyway,
wonder Patterson hates that state.
A judge ordered the boy to serve 200 hours of community service, write a letter to the victim to apologize, and write a 1,000-word report on why it's unhealthy to ingest fecal matter.
Why couldn't the judge make him eat his own fecal matter? That's what I want to
probably
know.
Not
by the way,
allowed.
Go ahead.
I was going to say this. Okay, go ahead. You go,
no,
Jared.
No, no, mine's just a joke, so no, go ahead.
Mine is a tangent, so you tell your all joke.
Right. I was going to say, if any of our listeners feel the need to take photographs of demonstrating how this is physically possible, just don't.
Adam, okay, this is sort of related to eating.
Thanks for letting me waste 10 seconds of your time on that one.
This is before Adam's got to run here, but I have to bring this up to you because it involves eating fecal matter.
Yeah.
There's this. Have you guys heard of this movie called The Human Centipede that's out there?
Yeah, just on Stern, probably like you have.
And I haven't heard it on Stern, but this movie has like made me sick to my stomach just thinking about it. Roger Ebert reviewed it and wouldn't even give it a star. He said this movie exists where stars don't. In a world where there are no stars.
Where we're going, there are no stars.
So have you heard about this movie?
No.
It's about a mad scientist who captures people.
The documentary?
No, no. It's like the next wave in torture porn. And so he gets people, and then he sews their faces to their asses. And then he makes like a human centipede. So
centipedes eat their own asses?
Well, what if you have to take a dump? So the person in front of you takes a dump into the next person's mouth.
Oh,
and so
okay.
And it's like this
I
gross...
meant into your own ass.
And it's yeah, no, no. So
into the person
it's
in front
like
of
it's like
ass.
A chain of people. Yes. And they hide a lot of this by like bandaging people up so you can't actually see their faces or their butts or whatever. So it's a lot of the grotesqueness is implied.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just for some reason I heard about this movie and I didn't want to know too much about it.
So you don't want spoilers.
I did just a little bit of research and it just like has been it's stuck in my head. Number one, why would someone want to see this? Number two, why would someone want to make this?
Okay, well, I'm going to leave you on a gross note then, and I apologize if this disgusts anyone.
Oh boy, totally ruining the show.
Back in the mid 90s, when AOL was like you know the way to connect to the online world,
and grunge was king.
Yes, I had friends that would
sold their assholes together.
that would email out. sick gift packs, and this was like you know like Fugly and sites like that eventually became popular.
Yeah,
this was like kind of predated even that. And one of the pictures, there are two pictures that I remember that stick in my mind, and I can never unsee them.
Oh no!
One is a dude that stuck a pen in his urethra,
oh.
And so you just see a dong with a pen stuck inside of it, and that just hurt to look at. And another one was
and you said, "Dad, why did you put that picture on the internet?"
And another one was a chick dumping into a dude's mouth and him jacking off while she's doing it, and well, that's done it for me.
Well, thank you for leaving us on a high, George Costanza. Good night, everybody.
I'm out.
Enjoy your game.
Thank you.
The only thing we can hope about that guy, Jared, is that he died from some sort of poison, fecal poison.
Are you talking about the guy who made the movie or what?
I think all of it, but the guy that Adam saw the picture of.
Who even needs this sort of stuff to happen? I mean, really?
I mean, are we that sick and depraved of a society that kind of crap literally needs to be happening? I don't understand. It almost feels like
some people are so desensitized to normal things that people would find gross that they have to just push the envelope and go even more extreme just to get some sort of rush or to feel alive.
Well, thank God people have thought of almost everything. So there's not much more we can do at this point.
Well, Shane, there's probably Human Millipede coming as a sequel.
Did you hear about that, Jared?
I heard something about a sequel.
That right now the movie, I think, had three people chained together. And he wants to do one that has 12 people chained together.
That's wonderful news.
Yeah, I mean, well, what else could you do? Could you have them ingest razor blades, maybe, and then they could shit them out and then kill the next person? That's
how
sort of
is
thing?
This even like? Is there like a story involved?
Yeah, there is a story. It's, I mean, there's like, you know.
You know what? I think we spent too much time on it.
Yeah,
already.
I just, guys, I don't.
Just don't.
Yeah, if there's someone out there that can explain the value of this to me, I would love for them to try. But I just, you know, maybe I'm sounding my age at this point, but it sickens me.
It's not good. It's not good.
It's not good. So, Jared, I'm going to keep reading these news stories here.
Do it.
I'm going in blind. I have no idea. You know, Adam probably could have picked things like cooking tips for all I know. Let's see here. Story number three. After keeping us waiting for a century, Mark Twain will finally reveal all. Exactly a century after...
Is he still alive?
I don't know. Let's find out. Exactly a century after rumors of his death turned out to be entirely accurate, one of Mark Twain's dying wishes is at last coming true, an extensive, outspoken, and revelatory autobiography, which he devoted the last life of his writing, is finally going to be published.
Why do I, when I hear someone say autobiography, I secretly want them to say Autobot. That's what I hear initially. It's like,
that's what we are. The creator of Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn, and some of the most frequently misquoted catchphrases in the English language left behind 5,000 unedited pages of memoirs when he died in 1910.
Wow.
Together with handwritten notes saying that he did not want them to hit the bookshops for at least a century. That milestone has now been reached, and in November, the University of California at Berkeley, where the manuscript is in a vault, will release the first volume of Mark Twain's autobiography. The eventual trilogy will run 500,000 words and shed new light on the quintessentially American novelist, like how he liked to kidnap people and sew them ass to face together.
I think that everything's coming together on that one.
I think all it's amazing how we just thematically tie these stories together. It's amazing how it works. And how he defecated in somebody's Dr. Pepper, because I think that's probably the only soda they had back then.
He was a prophet of the future.
Mark Twain knew it all. Hey, Jared.
Yeah?
Did you know that Patton Oswalt is fired up about Ivy Lee joke stealer?
I've heard about this, yeah.
I have not heard. Brian Corman and Patton Oswalt. Adam's got all sorts of weird things. Patton Oswalt.
I think you've uncovered why he gets mumbled mouthed when he reads the news.
Yeah, he's got like words just tied
together.
It's
actually written into his text.
Patton Oswalt wasn't at Columbia University's graduation ceremony last week, but his jokes were, and they were nothing but ratatouille. Brian Corman.
Where is it?
Yeah, I need some sound effects, Jared, because I'm killing the news. The news
worst
of
you ever.
Thank you, Adam. Is here. The School of General Studies valedictorian regaled fellow grads with a humor story about attending a physics for poets class. One major problem: the jokes were wildly similar to an anecdote in Oswald's stand-up act, also called Physics for Poets. Corman, a political science major, told the story as if it was from first-hand experience. After catching wind of the plagiarism, Oswald sarcastically tweeted, because that's what you do, you take him out on Twitter.
Congrats, it is the way of the world now.
Congrats to the Columbia University valedictorian Brian Corman. Great speech. Oswald, star of Ratatouille and big fan, angrily told the New York Times that Corman's actions show just how little respect comedians receive from the general public. In people's heads, they think that comedians can't possibly make up their own material, he said. They must get it out of joke books. Yes, because we all have joke books. He believes people just can't imagine that a comedian can make up original stuff, adding, they're like, I can just take it. He didn't make that up.
When I was a kid, I had a book called Daffynitions. There's a whole bunch of puns in it.
Daffynitions.
Yes.
I wish you still had that book.
So do I. I would read it.
I think that explains your love of puns. You love puns so much.
I don't love puns as much as some people do.
Thank goodness. So the funny man said Corman wrote to him to apologize, taking full responsibility for his error, because he didn't really know what he was doing. He didn't try to squirm out of it, unlike other people, said Oswald. He said, I stole it, should have not have done it, and it was wrong. On his website, Oswald said Corman flat out admitted his thievery, his stupidity, but that's the gap. But that the gaffe opens up a much larger question about the former student and, furthermore, the academic standard at Columbia University. So he is going to make sure that Corman goes under that bus like nobody's business. Still makes me wonder what Corman might have done to become valedictorian, he opined. I mean, if he's willing to steal material for something as inconsequential as a speech, how rubbery did his boundaries become when his GPA and future career were on the line? Oh, well. Well, maybe the key word is that it was inconsequential and he wouldn't actually do things. You know, I say he did. He stood up for it. He got publicly smashed. I think Patton Oswalt should probably lay off a little bit. That's what I think. But
maybe, but here's the thing is in the world of comedians, thievery of jokes is the worst sin you can commit.
It is. What's the second sin?
Sewing people together to make a human centipede.
Sewing Carrot Top together. With Gallagher.
But I don't know. But here, so if this guy was like an actual comedian, and he was stealing his material. I think Patton Oswalt's outrage is justified, and he should just stick it to him as much as he can. But he's not, right?
Yeah.
He's just a regular guy. Yes, he still jokes as bad, but lay off at some point. It's enough.
If Adam were here, the world's biggest Patton Oswalt fan, he'd probably be stabbing me with the pen right now. Adam also has some quick breaking news here, Jared, and it is breaking. I don't know a lot about this stuff, so you can comment if you have any color. Number one, Gary Coleman dead at the age of 42.
I'm curious what happened in his home. Go ahead.
What do you mean, in whose home?
His home, to cause... Read the story.
Okay, there's no story. There's only it's just a lie.
Well, he died. He had a brain hemorrhage because of an accident at home.
So
I want to know what happened.
Did he fall? Was it actually accidental? Somebody pushed him
that's
down.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah, Gary.
It wasn't like at first I thought it was like medically related. Yeah. Related to
his kidney
issues that he has. But no, it was a brain hemorrhage. It was like what you thought would get him didn't get him.
Yeah, so exactly.
I want answers.
Gary kind of was a sad case towards the end of his life. I mean, really bitter and angry about. Just, the way things had been going with him, and it was kind of sad.
And some of it's justified.
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy that was eaten up and spit out by the entertainment world. His parents screwed him over.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's always battling the fact that he's this short little dude. And, it just sort of ended in a really unfortunate way for him. And it's too bad. Do you have a favorite Gary Coleman moment, by the way?
Jeez, no. it's been a decade or more since I've seen a different Strokes episode.
His appearance in his two appearances on the television show Battlestar Galactica, where they wore brightly shiny colored spandex outfits. That's got to be my highlight. Number two here, Fox erases applause from Obama's West Point speech. Adam always likes to get his politics in here. Have you heard about this?
No, this is news to me.
So, yeah, apparently Fox erased it. Apparently people aren't applauding for Obama, or if they are, he does not, he being... my former boss, Rupert Murdoch, doesn't want people to know.
Guess what, Fox News? Some of us are on to your game, so maybe you should stop. Although you have a large percentage of the population duped, so.
And they are the highest rated cable news network.
Most trusted name in news, Shane.
There we go.
Fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced. Maybe you could sew their anchors together.
Every time I see Megyn Kelly on the TV at lunch, in the lunch hour, I just want to throw stuff at her.
You want to defecate into her diet soda?
Yeah.
House approves repeal of gay ban in military. You know anything about this, Jared? Go ahead.
We're working on repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It's been approved by the House and
on to the Senate.
I guess so. And they need to. It's pending the Pentagon's review of it, though. Which is let's just end. This is okay.
Oh, here we go.
I'm frustrated by this whole thing. I'm frustrated by all kinds of gay issues just because it's not a big deal to me if people are gay. I don't care. Let them be married. Let them do what they want. It doesn't affect me. As I often yell at the television, and Andrew will back me up, people are gay, get over it.
I think that gay people totally bring down my marriage. That's what I think.
Yes, it's meaningless because if gay people were be allowed to marry, your marriage would mean less, right?
For those of you that don't know me, that's sarcasm.
Yeah, whatever.
Jared, finally, the video game Mass Effect on its way to the big screen. They're going to make a video game... an adaptation of that video game. Can it overcome the curse? I talked about this in our summer movie preview. Can Prince of Persia overcome the curse of video game translated to the big screen? I don't think it is. I think the reviews have been mediocre to boring.
Yep.
And I don't think that it's going to pull in a lot of money, at least domestically. Is Mass Effect the game that's going to do that?
My initial response is going to be no. I'm unfamiliar with the story, so I don't know, but... How do you compress a game that has a 40-hour storyline or whatever into a 2-hour movie? You don't. There's no way to do it.
So Jared says, don't do it, and instead remake the Dolly Parton classic 9 to 5.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much. And that's it for news, Jared.
Really?
Adam did a great job. Let's wrap it up.
Okay. What's next?
Reviews.
How are we going to pull this off?
I'm going to read it, and you're going to play a clip.
Okay.
Unless you'd like to read it.
Nope.
Jared, just let me run the show.
Coming soon if you want.
Yeah, you can do coming soon.
All right.
LCD Sound System, my friends, that's what we're reviewing. It's his latest album, This Is Happening. So let's get to what Adam wrote up here. Once again, reading blind. Let's see how good of a job I can do.
Okay.
LCD Sound System can be described as a dance punk band. James Murphy is the sole member of the band when not touring. Murphy first gained notoriety in the early 90s as a member of Pixie sound-alike band Pony. At the age of 22, he was offered a job as a writer on Seinfeld, which he turned down. So our second Seinfeld reference of the day. Interesting. This Is Happening is LCD Sound System's third studio album. Earlier in 2010, Murphy has stated that this album will definitely be better than the other two. If sales are any indicator, he's correct. This Is Happening is the only LCD Sound System album to debut in the top 10 of the Billboard 200 chart at number 10. So here's a clip from the very David Bowie-ish sounding All I Want.
Adam also feels a little spoonish too.
Yeah, he felt that that sounded like Heroes, David Bowie. I kind of get where he's coming from, but
slow it down. Yeah,
yeah. Many of the songs clock in at over 7 minutes apiece, but manage to stay interesting the whole way through. Says Adam. The opening track of the album is called "Dance Yourself Clean." It has an intense 3-minute build, adding new elements every 30 seconds or so until finally peaking. So let's listen to a little bit of "Dance Yourself Clean." There you have it. That is another clip off of the LCD Sound System album, This Is Happening. Jared, I think we got to move on to the review. This is going to be interesting because Adam had to leave early, and he described to us how much he loved this album.
Yeah, this will be another... We haven't had it... It hasn't happened very often on the show, but we ended up with a split score on this one.
We just couldn't give it a generalized score because it would end up being very average, and what's the fun in that? So let's just say that Adam loved the album. He is on board with all these critics out there that are giving this thing... You know, A's and 4 stars and 90% and blah, 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 blah. He felt like this is really a great album. Jared, what do you feel about it?
You know, maybe I'm just not the target market for an LCD Sound System because I, on my initial listen, I did not like this album at all. In fact, my score has improved on the second listen, and maybe if I spend more time with it, it'll improve. Maybe I'll find more things to discover. Maybe I'll actually get into the lyrics. You know me. I'm a music first guy. It takes me 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 listens before I start getting into the lyrics. It's just how my brain works. Yes. I can't help it. But this, I don't know. I couldn't find anything that I liked. And maybe this is where I differ from an Adam who just can appreciate things that are just a little more droning without a conventional pop song construction. There really aren't any hooks,
no.
You know?
Yeah,
I find it hard to really get my head around it. I found myself liking the more punk version, the punkier songs over the electronic songs, you know, songs that were more guitar driven. I liked more. So I don't know if I even have a favorite song from this album. So
I liked All I Want, but I didn't win Dance Yourself Clean. You know, Adam talked about how it's just this 7-8 minute song that slowly adds elements. I found it sort of ponderous. Everything seemed to meander too much. It's like, man, you know, you think about Daft Punk is playing at my house. That's, you know, that's pretty much the song that brought this guy into the forefront. But I mean, that song has a point to it. It drives. It's fun to listen to. There's nothing on this album like that for me. Not to say that he has to repeat it, but there's nothing that makes me want to go back and re-listen to any of this stuff.
The first song, I listened to it on speakers at work, and I was honestly like, are those vocals mixed way too low? Because there's like, I'm sure that has to be intentional. And now hearing it on headphones, it's a little more plain.
Yeah.
But on speakers, it's like, those vocals are just way, way underneath the music. That's an odd choice.
Yeah,
I didn't get it.
I'm like you. I've listened to it a few times. It has grown on me a little bit, but I don't know if it's going to get to the point where I'm going to see this for the classic that people are seeming to think that it is.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because I like to be a hipster. I like to be on top of things. I like to, you know what the kids are into. I mean, that's why I live my life. And if I can't do that with LCD Sound System, I don't know what I'm going to do. I guess it's back to my Daughtry collection.
I think I liked the album prior to this better for some reason.
Yeah.
I'm remembering it more fondly.
Well, I'm with you there, my friend. So there you go, LCD Sound System. A split review, Jared. Let's give Adam's review of this, his Scope score, rather, for this first, and then we'll follow it up with ours.
The Scope score is 3.5 stars.
From Adam. And from Jared and Shane.
The Scope score is 1.75 star.
Exactly half of what Adam
is that made. Your crunching number right there?
Yeah, I'm crunching the numbers.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. So there you go, guys. If you love Adam, you're going to love this album. If you love Jared and Shane, which most of the people that listen to the show do, you are definitely going to get behind our score on that.
I guess if you're under 30, you'll like it.
Exactly.
If you're not for long, though, because Adam's creeping up on there. He was born in 1980, just like Angie's.
There we go. So that leaves one more segment in our triple play of Under the Scope, and that would be called Coming Soon.
See, I'm not even liking the Coming Soon bumper music. No. Too electronic.
Your opinion just sway with the wind, Jared.
Coming soon, Shane,
yes,
and music.
Sir.
The week of June 1st, we have Clay Aiken with Tried and True. I know you're going to pick that up.
No, I think you're going to pick that up.
I already have a copy, Shane.
Clay Aiken, by the way, did not show up for the season finale of American Idol.
Is he's obligated to show up all of them now?
Almost all of them showed up.
He is promoting a new album. I would think he'd want to show up.
Clay Aiken is a weird, creepy, vampire-looking kid.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Future Heads have an album entitled Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm familiar with them.
I know the name, I don't know the band.
Okay. Jack Johnson. Music to chill out to.
Oh,
his album title is To the Sea.
We love Jack Johnson.
Exactly. Just take your shoes off and let the sand fill your toes. I don't even know what that means. Following week, June 8th, Christina Aguilera.
Just take your shoes off while we sew your face to somebody's ass.
Gross. Christina Aguilera's album, Bionic, comes out. We have Hanson with Shout It Out.
Hanson. We might have to review Hanson. We did him last time.
Did we?
Yeah.
Let's not do that again. Hot Heat.
Your sister's going to see Hanson in concert.
She saw, Taproot and the Deftones.
What a bizarre woman that girl is.
Well, she likes what
Taproots, she likes. We've got Hanson.
What do you want?
Shania Twain.
I don't know that she's a Shania Twain person.
Barry Manilow.
Yeah, well, that I can guarantee. Hot Heat has Future Beads.
How's it spelled?
B-E-E-D-S. It might be an L in there, maybe?
No, I think that's how it is. It's a cut and paste job.
I don't get it, but all right. Yeah. Jewel's next album, Sweet and Wild, will be out. Not a Surf. There's no T in it. Not a Surf. If I Had a Hi-Fi. They're interesting. They just kind of pop up now and again with another album. It's kind of surprised that they've lasted as long as they have. But Rudy's got a new album. Cool.
Yeah.
Eureka is the title. A lot of people like Teenage Fan Club. They have Shadows, and people like the Tokyo Police Club as well.
They do.
New album called Champ.
Hey, Jared, quick quiz. Name the adverb in this sentence. LCD Sound System can be described as a dance punk band.
I don't know. I'd have to look at it.
I don't even know if there is an adverb.
I don't think there is.
I'm just going to quiz you. I think that's what we're going to do with the Scope Show. We're just going to do nothing but grammar quizzes from now on.
That sounds like a winning formula.
Where is the prepositional phrase?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Keep reading.
As a something. Anyway.
Exactly. In A.
Movies coming out June 4th. We have Get Him to the Greek. That's with Russell Brand and Jonah Hill.
Continuing in the worst summer movie season in recent memory, in my opinion.
Yeah, that could be funny. Maybe.
Could be, but it's not
Since Iron Man, everything that's come out is getting terrible reviews.
I know.
It's like nothing is breaking out.
Inception. That's what we're waiting for, Jared.
I want to see Jonah Hill. Jonah Hex. Sorry.
Okay.
Killers comes out. What's Killers?
I don't remember, but it's on the list.
Marmaduke?
Doing
a Marmaduke movie?
Yep.
I'm assuming he's CG.
He is a real dog that will have CG movements and all that bullshit. So.
Okay. When can we look forward to the For Better or Worse?
Oh, movie? God. I mean, I would be in line for that.
And Splice. That's Adrian Brody.
And you know what? Entertainment Weekly gave it an A-. So
interesting.
So I was surprised. I'm thinking Adrian Brody is just a bizarre fellow, but you know, maybe he picked a good horror movie to be in.
The following week, June 11th.
Am I boring you?
I'm a little tired. Sorry.
All right.
I had a late night and an early morning. So there you go.
Not going to get into that.
But not really that early. I was, out playing games.
Oh, is that what they're calling it?
Yep. June 11th, the A-Team comes out. I'm excited for the A-Team.
Okay.
I don't care who you are.
Okay.
I am excited for the A-Team. I'm not excited for The Karate Kid.
I'm not excited at all. The A-Team, will it feature a cameo by Mr. T? Have you heard anything?
I've not heard anything. Mm.
I thought you'd be right up on
that. I'd be surprised if it happened, honestly.
Okay. And was Gary Coleman ever in an episode of the A-Team?
I don't think so. Hmm. But I couldn't say
I'm
going to
do some research on that.
Okay.
What else we got?
Joan Rivers, a piece of work. What is that?
It's a documentary on the life of Joan Rivers, and I hear it's actually pretty good. I think it played at Sundance or something a year or so ago.
We talked about that on Stern.
Yeah.
Coming up on Digital Versatile Disc, Shane. June 1st.
The Versatile Disc.
Alice in Wonderland. I'm assuming that comes out on Blu-ray as well.
Our friend Earl Lucas rolling over in his, he doesn't have a grave, but.
Heartbreak Ridge. Blu-ray?
Yeah.
Is that?
I researched that. I don't remember who. But, you know, is that? No. Forget it. I don't know.
All right. Life, the documentary series on animals and stuff.
Starring Oprah.
Yep. And The Wolfman. I believe that was with Benicio Del Toro,
yeah, it was.
Right?
It
did not
was.
Do very well.
It did not at all. I could have told them that after seeing the first trailer that movie was going to stink.
Yeah. Following week, June 8th, Curb Your Enthusiasm Season 7, Family Matters Season 1.
Oh, there we go. Finally, Jared.
Reginald Vell Johnson in the house.
We can stop doing the scope because I said I would only do the scope until the Family Matters TV program comes
in. Now you can put together your Urkel highlight reel.
Episode 92 will be our last. Thank you.
Nice. From Paris with Love.
That was John Travolta with a shaved head.
Right. With Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Exactly.
And Shutter Island.
Mm-hmm. Movie I'd like to see. I hear it's pretty good.
I hear good stuff, too.
You should get it on Netflix and then come over to our house and watch it.
I'll work on that.
Thank you.
Video games.
Yes,
week
sir.
Of May 30th. Alpha Protocol for PS3 and 360. I don't know that one. Backbreakers, also for PS3 and Xbox 360.
You know, have you heard about that game?
Backbreakers?
Yes.
No.
It's a football game where they actually try to do very realistic physics, you know, like... pile on tackling, running, that sort of thing. A lot of speculation when they were first showing that game that maybe EA would buy the technology for it, merge it into Madden, but instead this company went out and did their own game.
Okay.
Interesting, huh?
Are they intending it to you to break people's backs then?
You know, they're just doing nothing but realistic football action. If backbreaking is involved in it, so be it.
Fine.
Jedi.
Week of June 6th, then Metal Gear Peace Walker for PSP.
Yep.
Sniper Ghost Warrior for the Xbox 360. Don't know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Tiger Woods PGA Tour 11 for PS3, 360, and Wii.
Very exciting.
People love golf. And Green Day Rock Band.
Yay!
For PS3 and Xbox 360.
Very, very exciting.
I thought that was coming out the 8th, actually.
I think the week of
June 6th.
Yes.
Okay,
so unfortunately, it will come out after my birthday, so if we were intending on playing it, any sort of birthday celebration, Jared will not be able to do that.
Thanks, Susie Orman.
Keyboards on... Rock Band 3.
And harmonies and a pro mode.
Very, very excited. I think Jared's excited about that, aren't you?
For what?
Rock Band 3.
Yeah. That's coming out
it's been 2 years.
August?
Have not announced it. My guess would be September.
Okay. Are you going to get Green Bay Rock down?
Yeah, I've got it pre-ordered, Jared.
I think I need to do that, too, because I want the free thing. I also need to play my Beatles Rock Band downloadable content.
You need to pre-order. If you pre-order it, Jared, you will get you'll be able to get free export.
Yeah, no. But GameSpot, GameStop.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know these things, Shane.
Okay, sorry.
I
calm
know
down.
These things.
Calm down.
I know them.
Okay.
That's it.
Is that it?
That's it for Coming Soon.
Everybody, Coming Soon is over. Under the scope. So, Jared, this is unusual for you. Two talky segments in a row.
I can handle it. Okay. I got a lot of ground to cover here,
okay,
Shane.
Okay, let's do this, brother.
A lot of commentary, Bridget. Covering all kinds of areas.
Oh, this is exciting.
Start out with some voicemails. I'm going to play the rest of the Luke Ski voicemail because he has some commentary on a bit we did the last show. Here we go.
Okay.
And another thing, I think you could have a new feature called Words of Wisdom from Rock and Roll Ray, in which you get some words of wisdom from Rock and Roll Ray, you know, in every episode. I know that would probably be hard to do. Maybe it's to go over the phone. I don't know, but I'm all about Rock and Roll Ray, Mondo Colecto. Yeah, Kiki is sitting next to me in the car because we're driving home from the Farallon show, but she has a migraine and doesn't want to say anything. I am Ferris adjacent. Talk to you later. Bye.
So what he's saying is we should have a bit.
We're Rock and Roll Ray.
Rock and Roll Ray. Words of, where he calls in and he gives words of wisdom, and then we should call it Words of Wisdom with Rock and Roll Ray.
Lipsky is a visionary.
Lipsky. I love it. Well, we'll see what Rock and Roll Ray has to say about that. I don't even know if he's in on your nefarious plan.
I don't know. we'll give it some thought. That's all I can say. It seems like there might be a bit of production involved, and I'm very production averse currently.
Jared does not like to do anything.
Trying to finish an album and do other stuff. So it's I don't have a lot of free time for additional production.
Right. After that album's done, though, full on the scope, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Full speed ahead. We also have a call from John in Dallas.
Whoa.
He has some stuff to say. Here we go.
Hey, Scope. This is John Foss from Dallas, Texas. I'm giving you a voice, so enjoy. I enjoyed your Lost analysis.
Of course
you
did.
I'm looking forward to the finale. It's 3 days away. I may call again to give you my feedback, but...
Did he ever call again?
I hope you enjoy the finale as much as I do, I assume. And I'll talk to you later. Thanks, bye.
First things first, wake up, John.
Come on, John.
Second, you didn't call back.
Oh, John.
Did not call back, John.
Is he our second caller from Texas?
Yeah.
We have a big Texas following.
Apparently we do.
Mm-hmm. Wonder what he thinks of all that big Board of Education business going out there.
I would assume he's appropriately miffed.
John, why don't you call up and tell us what you think about that? Let's get some political talk going.
Right on.
Right on. Thank you for calling, by the way. You've got balls, sir. And I won't punch them, so you have to get one amputated.
We're going to finish the commentary block of the show with some comments that were on the website chain.
People are actually giving us comments again.
Well, I'll let you be the judge on how many people were commenting. First, G writes in, he says, on to episode 84.
Oh, he's way behind.
I'm getting caught up, not that you guys care.
We don't. Because if we didn't care, we wouldn't be reading the comment.
Not Gary then writes in to say, I'm so getting caught up this week. Just finished episode 85.
Mm-hmm.
You know what would be awesome? Mm-hmm. If you had that great voiced Gary back on the show.
Great voiced
Signed,
Gary.
Not Gary.
I don't get it.
I don't know. Not Gary has another comment, though.
He's back.
I believe he's commenting on our Scope Madness. He says, Everlong equals a good song, but there's better Foo songs out there. Or was I not allowed to name the winner? Also, Adam Beatles rule.
There may be better Foo Fighters songs, but we didn't pick them to be into the competition, not Gary.
Nor did our listeners. They had a job, too. They were to submit songs, and they didn't. Gary, you could have submitted songs. I don't recall you sending in a list.
I think you might have sent me a list. I'm not sure.
Really?
I think so.
You just make me embarrassed because I falsely
I don't remember. I don't remember. It's not Gary anyway. Who cares?
Well, Gary has something to say about it.
Oh, Gary's
not
back.
Not Gary said his piece. Now Gary's back on the horn.
Jeez, a lot of Gary-type people.
He says,
there.
I think for Scope Madness, once you started whittling down, knowing your musical tastes, we knew who was going to win. Or at least who wasn't. I can't argue with that logic. I think he's right. I don't know what you want. Gary,
I get very defensive about Scope Madness.
Gary has a lot of things to say about episode 88.
Okay, hit it.
Now he says, no Lukeski impressions, ack, I promise. Next comment will be positive, says Gary.
Wow.
Next comment.
There it is, right there.
Your review of iCarly made me not want to see it. Wait, here, I screwed that up.
Say again?
I deleted part of it. Here goes. Your review of Kick-Ass made me want to see it. Your review of iCarly made me not want to see it. Thanks for the reviews.
Job well done, I think.
I think so. Gary has more to say, though.
He's not done yet.
So, yeah, loved the what the kids are into.
It was a good bit. Well, with commentary like that, we got to get him on back on the show immediately.
Shane, he's not done.
Oh.
Gary says, I do have to admit that Lipsky's impression of Rip Taylor at MarsCon was pretty good.
It was good.
So, Lipsky, you're getting a compliment from Gary.
Lipsky can do a Beavis and Butthead, and he can do Rip Taylor. Who else can he do?
Johnny Carson.
Ooh.
I believe he can do Charles Nelson Reilly.
So Lipsky really goes for everyone that's hot in society.
Flipper the Dolphin?
I've always wanted a good flipper sound effect on the show.
A role of Lifesavers? He's been known to do that?
I can do that.
Well, can you do it? Can you do it as well as Lipsky, though?
I don't know. We'll have to have a competition.
And in a common housefly. That's his last impression.
I'm the expert in the uncommon housefly.
Finally, Gary, moving on from episode 88 to episode 89. Thanks for the Coachella story, Scooter. Very interesting.
Mm. And he had better stories that he refused to tell us, so what do you want?
Tell better stories, I guess. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
So
Gary and G had a lot to say about past episodes.
Do we need to talk about how we get this guy back on the show? He wants to be back on the show.
I don't think it's that hard. We pick up the phone and say, would you like to come on the show?
Who do we call, though? There's like five guys we got to call on this.
We start at the top of the list and work our way down.
All right.
I don't know.
Guess we got to think of a reason to have him on.
We need an appropriate topic where Gary could lend his smooth-toned analysis.
Okay, I like that. I like that idea. So, Gary, you're on our radar. How about that? What else, Jared?
You want to be on our radar? Send your comments at thescopeshow.com. Call the voicemail line, 612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673. Program it into your mobile phone. Call us from the airport. Call us from the toilet. Call us from your open-heart surgery. Whatever you got to do, give us a call. As you can see, more than Luke Ski can get through now. We had calls from both Sarah and John in Texas. Clearly, phone lines from Texas are open. I'm assuming I'm assuming other states have telecommunications
available
as well.
They're not constructing them as we speak.
I got to assume, Shane, that the remaining 49 states and probably parts of Canada have telephone service at this point.
I love it. I think...
I just got to believe in something, and that's what I'm choosing to believe in today.
Okay. Something to believe in.
Right on. Yeah. Facebook, Twitter, look for us there.
Facebook's been effective for us, so people pay attention.
It's an extension of the conversation.
It really is.
I think more so than the Twitter.
Yeah. We try with Twitter, but it really all funnels through Facebook, doesn't it?
A lot of times. It's easy to see comments. It kind of threads it all and keeps it together.
What about iTunes reviews, Jared?
We haven't really got anything new.
We haven't. So, everybody, that's going to be my push for the next 2 weeks. iTunes reviews. You're going to see it on Facebook. I'm going to beg you for them. Don't be like Not Gary and give us 4 stars. Give us 5 stars.
Maybe a little less begging on the Facebook. I'm just going to say.
I'm not going to beg. I'm just going to put it out there.
Okay. A little gentle reminder.
A reminder. That's
a little
what I'm
nudge
thinking.
Is okay, but...
You calm down. You've got your own...
Pleading for comments. I'm not sure if I'm down with that.
You've got your own podcast to worry about. Why don't you...
Shane, we've got a podcast. Another podcast.
That's what I figured. Let's get to this. This is episode 92, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I guess it is kind of... Well, it's not that long.
I'm bringing Dr. Phil in to talk to you about your infidelity here. What's going on?
It's no infidelity. It's not like I'm doing something competing, Shane. I have a band. The band is Possible
Oscar.
Oh,
my goodness.
And I decided, as a means of talking to the audience, of our audience, and maybe letting them into our world a little bit, and to introduce some of the new members of the band who have been around for a year, but nobody really knows who they are, I decided to do a podcast.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the podcast?
I've never been on one.
Okay.
I have no idea what that is.
Well, I'm doing a weekly podcast, or as often as I feel necessary and am able to get people in the room with me. Podcast for the band called the Posker Cast. If you'd like to find out more about my band, just go to thepossibleoscar.com. It's all there. Look for Posker Cast. You can we look for it in iTunes as well. It's there. Subscribe, listen.
You should write a review on their podcast, but not on ours.
It's like 12 minutes, you know, once a week. Just kind of whatever's going on with the band and what we want to talk about. So that's it.
That's
what I got.
Very, very exciting
stuff. Shane, tell us about your new podcast.
Well, I'm working on it right now. And I am going to become the rival band to Possible Oscar.
Oh, no. Like the Lesser Knowns have their arch-villains. You're going to just start the arch-villain band.
You finally need a rival band. That's exactly what I'm going to do. And it's going to feature nothing but the harpsichord, violin, and a piccolo. Those are going to be my instruments of choice.
Interesting. Interesting. Will you switch off leads, or will the piccolo mainly be pulling the melodies?
To me, that's a perfect euphemism. Piccolo pulling the melody. I have no podcast, but I do want to send a special shout out to our guests of honor on this particular episode. That would be Lesser Knowns. You guys, you can check out their album on all of the appropriate venues and avenues.
MySpace.com/LesserKnowns.
Exactly.
Facebook.com/LesserKnowns. Twitter.com/... What was it? Lesser Knowns something else.
We will have all that information on our post for this particular episode. Give them a chance. Check them out. Listen to them. I'm sure they would really appreciate it. And I want to thank them again for making the time to come on the show.
Right on.
Next episode, hopefully we got something special planned. We'll keep you posted. Might be a slight delay on the show.
It'll be interesting.
Might be a slight delay on getting it out, but we will keep all of our listeners posted.
It'll be
on
worth
it.
The wait.
It better be. And I want to thank Jared. I want to thank Adam for leaving early because we finally did the show the way we wanted to do it.
About time.
And I want to thank the listeners. So, everybody, episode 91 is over. 92 coming at you. Very, very soon. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying,
buenas tardes.
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.